You're listening to Discovering Multifamily, where we discuss all educational topics in commercial real estate with an emphasis on multifamily apartment investing via syndication. And now, your hosts, former NFL fullback Brian Leonard and Anthony Scandariato.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Discovering Multifamily Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Anthony Scandariato, here with Red Knight Property. And today we have a special guest here with us coming out from Central Florida, right, Adrian?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Great place to be and invest. And Adrian Smood is here with us, and he is actually a mobile home park investor, so a little bit different than multifamily and the regular guests we have here on the show. But he's been doing this since 2002, I believe. And that's quite a long time to be in one asset class. And what makes him a little bit different from other mobile home park investors is he actually buys the individual units, correct me if I'm mistaken, as opposed to, but I'll let him get into the details. But really wanted to have him on the show here. Very excited. He has a book he just came out with, which he could talk about to help you if you're interested in mobile home parks. And I'll let him talk about that. But thanks for coming on the show, Adrian.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me here. I'm excited.
So, yeah, talk to us about mobile home parks. For those watching the video, obviously, that's probably one of your units behind you. So talk to us, why mobile home parks and what's different? Like, why the individual units? Do you also own the units and the land? How does that work? And, you know, is financing more creative this way? What's the strategy that you have and, you know, you're teaching other investors?
Oh, yeah. So we've got a lot to unpack right there. So I'm going to break down real quick the three main ways to invest in mobile homes, because that's pretty confusing for a lot of people. You can own just the unit within a park. So you own just the mobile home, the aluminum castle. You do not own any dirt. Typically, inside of a mobile home park, you pay the manager, the owner, lot rent every single month. Then you can own the entire mobile home park. Those have become very sexy because the syndications have got into them. The big players have got in that space. But it's gotten pretty crowded. And then you can own just the home and the dirt. So it's an individual unit with the land. Now, that's not a multifamily strategy. It's a single family strategy. But because it's a multifamily topic here, I want to talk about the units within the park. Because even though it is more of a single family space right there, a lot of people don't realize if you are renting that space and then you're subletting it out to a end user or maybe even your owner financing it out, what a lot of people don't realize is you can be building rapport with the park owner and manager. So that should be a really easy way in for whenever they're ready to sell, that you've already proven you can pay payments on time every single month. You're in there every month or so building some rapport. So you should be the first person to learn about that big park is going for sale. And there's all this competition in the space right now. So getting there before anyone else can be really helpful.
And the areas that you focus on are where?
So I personally focus in Central Florida in between Tampa and Orlando. And although I do mainly buy just the unit with the land, I'm in some syndications for the mobile home parks, and those individual units within the park, those have been really, really profitable for my growth at different times.
And so the growth there, what's the strategy behind buying the individual units? Is it to get to the park, you know, the whole park eventually? Obviously, that takes time and kind of, you know, unbeknownst to you when the individual unit owners are ready to sell. So how does that work for your overall strategy?
Yeah, so honestly, I bought those individual units within the parks because I was looking for cash flow. And it helped me learn about parks. It helped me learn, oh, I should be building rapport with a park manager. And it helped with my growth of cash flow. People sometimes just try to go just to the end result and not figure out things along the way. So it helps you learn the mobile home parks from the inside. And a lot of people don't realize everything that goes on, the politics within there. And then, you know, everyone that lives there. I also got to learn parks I didn't want to be involved in. because there was some shady stuff there. It was a lower asset class than I wanted to be involved in, and I didn't want to bring the value add and completely turn over the park.
Yeah,
But
the that makes sense. So yeah, talk about that property management component when you're buying individual units.
when you are buying the individual unit within the park, you can run your own management routine, but you still have to deal with the park manager, and whatever they say goes. So if they have a certain criteria that's maybe a little stricter than yours for someone to move in, you still have to comply with them because they make the overall rules. And it's nice to be the park manager because you make all of the rules. And everyone, the investor or not, has to comply with those.
Right. And who's paying the park? Like, whose park manager is it? I guess the landowner is hot. Okay. That's up there on their payroll. Okay. So
Yeah.
in terms of your strategy, obviously you're investing in Central Florida. That's the only area you're like, how are you mentioned you're finding these deals kind of off market. You're going to the parks and figuring out which ones you can scoop up and, like, what's the strategy there? And you're teaching, other investors.
Yeah, so the marketing aspect of it, really, we can do any type of marketing you see anyone doing. We just change the word house to mobile home. So it can be letters, it can be door knocking, Google AdWords, Facebook, all of these different strategies work. Within the parks, I like to build rapport with the park manager. Hey, Anthony, if you ever have a unit that you really just need to get rid of, or someone's causing a lot of problems, let me know. Maybe I can help you out. You don't have to deal with them. And I'm always going to pay on time. So building rapport like that, once you've proven to them that you do pay on time and you don't cause a problem, and your tenants don't cause a problem, or you take care of it right away, they like you because you're making their job easier. So it's really about the rapport building there. Facebook groups, those have been really successful for finding people that need to sell. And usually the person that needs to sell within a park, they need to sell fast. And they don't have money to move to the next place. So it's not uncommon that we give them a little bit of money so that they can get the moving truck and everything, and we give the rest of it to them once they've already moved out.
Now, are all these cash transactions for the most part?
So I've done smaller dollar ones when it's within the park and I have paid cash, but our return on investment is so high. It should be well over 50%, really closer to 100% return on our money. So with numbers like that, you have the money to borrow from someone. So you could even split the deal 50-50 and still make a good return. But remember, the ones in the parks, they're really high yield, but smaller dollars coming in a month. Well, let's say it's maybe 75% return on your money. You might have $175 or $200 a month coming in. So you don't always want to get stuck on the yield so much because it's not as many dollars coming in, but it's a step closer to getting in with that park manager, and it's economies of scale as well.
Yeah. So how do you, what, where's the financing sources coming from for these individual?
It's mainly going to need to be private money or owner financing. So if you are selling to someone that's going to move in, really the best bet to make the best return on your investment is to owner finance it to them. Obviously, if you start doing a lot of these, you have to comply with the SAFE Act, the Dodd-Frank, and everything. But there are a few lenders out there, Century 21 and a few others, that will finance just the home within the park. But I'll tell you, they've gotten pretty strict recently. I like that though, because that means a lot of people don't want to learn the owner financing. They don't want to learn private money and dealing with friends and human beings. So there's less competition out there. And if I'm owner financing it out to someone, I get to make a spread on the purchase price to the sale price to them and the interest. So it's very profitable on our side as well.
So, when you're looking at these individual units, how long are you typically holding these properties for?
If I'm gonna just do it as a rent to own or owner finance, I want to put it back on the market as fast as possible. I don't want to do a lot of work to it. I want to do like more of a handyman special work for equity. And I look for how much can the person afford every month, truly afford within their price range. Sorry, not price, but the range of the monthly payment. So now I have to back out the lot rent because they have to pay for that. Then they get my payment and then a little bit of an insurance. So that's how I figure out how much the payment will be. The price of the unit, we do look for comps. That can be a little more difficult, but we can usually sell a little bit above the retail price because we are offering financing with it. And then the rate, you have to figure out what rate you can comply with and people will pay, but you definitely don't want to go over usury rate for your state. And then we solve there for the term, for how long it'll be for. Because people remember buy payments of what they can truly afford. And that's very important to the people in this asset class.
No, absolutely. So yeah, talk about the inventory too. I mean, obviously you're Central Florida. If you're trying to build up this business within a year or 2 years, I mean, realistically, how much inventory can you grab within that time period if you're, hustling and trying to find sellers every single day? I just, I'm not, this is a multifamily show, so we're not as well versed as you are.
Yeah, well, they're everywhere. So mobile home parks are in all the states. They're up in Alaska. They're everywhere. So people sometimes think, oh no, they don't have them in the cold states. They're everywhere. Now, yes, Florida, we're spoiled because we have a lot of them. But if you are, like you said, really out there hustling and door knocking and talking to all the park managers and putting your signs out and all your advertisement, you can find them pretty quick because there's not that much competition out there. You can, and once you get known, you only need, I would say, two or three parks to get really well known in, and then you can start doing a lot of business in those. I would suggest, though, because most of the viewers are going to be looking for a mobile home park because it's multifamily, do your research. Figure out which ones are mom and pop parks, not the big REITs and the corporations, the mom and pop park that you'd want to own, and then go and target those. Because those are the ones you're going to be doing the long-term strategy of building the rapport with the manager or the owner better. And so you want to be doing business in them, find your three, maybe five, and stick with those and keep marketing within those. A lot of times they have a clubhouse. You can hang up some flyers there if the park manager says. And once they like you, they let you do things even if it's not fully full part of the rules.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So yeah, talk to us about, so a lot to learn. Obviously, a lot of people who are listening are used to multifamily conversations. You came out, you mentioned before the show with a book. What is that about?
Yeah, so I wrote a book on how to buy mobile homes, just like the topic. And it's focused on really my story of how I went from an evicted tenant all the way to allowing my wife to retire at 29 years old. So it's kind of an inspirational story of me. But within it, I teach about investing in mobile homes every step along the way. Yes, it's my strategy is primarily the home and land together. But what I see a lot of mobile home park wannabe owners skip is learning all of the in between. So a mobile home's a mobile home. If it's on a single unit, if it's inside of a park, they're mobile homes. So how to fix them, the repairs, what to look for, it's the same all over. And I always suggest people get a little experience in a smaller deal, build your confidence up, then you really understand the mobile home. And then when you're talking to the person who owns the whole park, you already know a lot about it. You can carry a bit, a little higher level, a little higher level conversation with them.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And for my listeners, where can they purchase the book or read the book?
Pretty much anywhere you look for books, Amazon's always the big place, but anywhere that you buy a book, the Audible is out now, and so you get to listen to me for about 3 hours.
Oh, that's
And you can find
awesome.
it anywhere. You can go to my website as well, lifestyle-rei.com.
Awesome. Lifestyle-REI.com. And what's the best way as we wind down the show for my listeners to connect with you, reach out to you, learn more about you?
Well, my website's a perfect way to find me. And we're going to put a link for everyone here listening of the 14 myths debunked about mobile homes. So if you're thinking about them, but you're like, man, Adrian, but You didn't even talk about the trailer trash and how the values go down and all these big myths out there. I've got a perfect little PDF. We're going to give it away for free for everyone to help change your mindset a little bit more. So then you're like, okay, I've heard they make good money. Now I understand that it's not all these myths that I've heard.
No, that's awesome. That would help a lot of my audience, including myself. So, yeah, this is awesome, Adrian. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. And if you liked what you heard and or saw, please give us a rating and review on iTunes. It'll help the algorithm out to get our message and Adrian's message out to a greater audience. That's just the way it works. So, really appreciate your time today, Adrian. And we'll have that link in our social media descriptions as well and on iTunes so you can check Adrian out and hopefully, check out his book and learn more about him. So, thanks so much again for coming on.
You're welcome. Appreciate you having me.